Following the energy crisis of the 1970s, Congress was eager to encourage the creation of new technology that would reduce America's dependence on foreign oil. Toward that end, lawmakers enacted a tax break to prompt energy companies to develop a process that would transform coal, a resource that is plentiful, into synthetic forms of crude oil or natural gas. But the synthetic fuel industry never got off the ground in the U.S., although the tax breaks remained buried deep inside the U.S. tax code. An investigation published by Time magazine this week finds that decades later, several American companies are exploiting the long-dormant tax credit in an energy processing scheme that costs taxpayers more than $1 billion a year. Time magazine reporters James Steele and Donald Bartlett co-authored this expose called The Great Energy Scam. Mr. Steele joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Michelle.
In order to qualify for these tax credits, companies are supposed to take coal and transfer it into a so-called synthetic fuel. But what actually happens in this process?
What apparently happens is that a number of additives are applied, everything from rosins to, in one case, we came across pine tar. Various asphaltic adhesives are supposedly put on the coal. But as one longtime coalman who we interviewed in western Pennsylvania said, look, whatever goes on that stuff in this little process, it still comes out and it's basically coal. But by going through that process, it then qualifies for a synthetic fuel tax credit, which is around $26 a ton. It's become a tremendous windfall to the few companies that have these little plants who subject the coal to this process and then sell the product.
Critics actually call this the spray and pray process,
yes.
Meaning that they hope that no one really peeks behind the curtain to see what really happens. But this isn't illegal.
It's not illegal. It has been approved by IRS, though every once in a while IRS gets some folks in IRS take a look at this and they wonder, are we doing the right thing here? But the fact of the matter is, we ask several companies that run these plants, and plants is, by the way, a glorified name for these. They're not very elaborate. We ask several companies, let us look at what you're doing. Let us see the process. Nobody would let us on site, really, for any of these facilities. And nobody would, in many cases, would even tell us who their silent partners were. Many of these companies that are public companies also have silent partners that they've taken on to share the tax credits with. So it's a remarkable scheme that's going on underneath the radar screen, totally legally, totally approved by Congress, enriching really very, very few companies.
And there are some surprising players, companies with household names that are quite recognizable that have seemingly little or nothing to do with energy production or processing. How do the companies defend themselves?
This is one of the things that actually got us interested in this in the beginning. You would think a coal company might be interested in this, but when you start looking at this in depth, you find there are companies such as Marriott, which we think of for hotel rooms and resorts. Marriott, to reduce its tax bills, bought four of these synthetic plants in two different states, Illinois and Alabama, and basically crowed in their annual report for a couple of years about how much these facilities were able to reduce their tax bill. And Marriott alone got $269 million in tax credits.
You've demonstrated that this is a big windfall for the companies that have figured out how to use this credit to their advantage. Is this in any way increasing U.S. energy production or reducing America's dependence on foreign oil? Is there even a single example of a company that's actually developing synthetic fuel?
Well, that is the great question, and we are certainly not aware of it. We did not find such a company. In fact, these are the only syn fuel plants that really exist in the country, ones that are solely created to do this modest amount of treatment of coal in order to claim the credit.
Congress created this loophole. Why don't they close it?
Congress could close it if they wanted, because they have the power. But the fact of the matter is there's a very strong lobby called the Council for Energy Independence that's been very successful in putting forth its position. And because of that, it's not likely that this is going to be reversed anytime soon.
So how does the industry, how do the companies defend what they do?
They defend what they do because they say IRS has approved the process. And laboratories are monitoring it on a regular basis. IRS said all you have to do with the coal is make a significant chemical change. So they take the position that they are doing that and that therefore it is valid.
James Steele, thank you very much.
Thank you.
James Steele is the co-author of an investigative article in the current issue of Time magazine called The Great Energy Scam.